Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
Come on, he's a good God. Even on your worst day, he's a good God. He's a compassionate God. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, to put those hands together one more time. Hallelujah. For your goodness. I don't know about nobody else. Towards me, I owe you praise because of your goodness and your kindness. Make it personal. Towards me, I owe you praise because of your goodness and your kindness towards me. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 through 27. And it's our custom to stand for the reading and reverence of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 24 through 27. Will you have it? Say amen. If you don't, just say, wait on me, Pastor, hold up. Wait a minute, I'm almost there. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say, wait on me, Pastor. I told you to hold up, Pastor, wait. Hey, show some grace in the new year. Hold up. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads this: don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. Verse 26, so I run with purpose at every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have a confession to make in this new year. I got to get myself together. Okay, that was the wrong neighbor because they didn't say, yes, you do. Find another neighbor and say, neighbor, I got a confession to make. In this new year, I got to get myself together. Now put your hands on yourself and say, self, I got to get myself together. I got to get myself together. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we lift you up. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. I gotta get myself together. There is nothing like embracing a brand new year. It brings about new hope. It brings about new goals. It brings about new aspirations. And I know people before the year even began, people are already having vision boards, making their dreams, plotting what they're going to do, plotting what this year is going to be. I mean, naming it and grabbing it. Just doing all of that, just believing that this is going to be a great year. And so rightfully so, because, hey, here's the thing. 2019 may have been a rough year for you. 2019 may have been a hellish year for you. 2019 may have been a year that you cried and went through some stuff. Now, I wish I could get up here and tell you that 2020 is going to be your year. And in some instances, it could be. I wish I can get up here and tell you that in this new year, everything is going to be peachy. Everything is going to be great. Everything is going to be fine. I wish that I could tell you that in this new year that you're not going to have any troubles. I wish I could tell you that in this new year, in this new decade, that you're not going to cry. You're not going to be upset. You're not going to be frustrated. I wish I could tell you that, Casey, but if I were to tell you, you would be rightfully so to call me a liar to my face, because even though 2019 may have been hell and you have some troubles and some issues that you had to get through, please, please brace yourself for this. In 2020, you're going to cry In 2020, you're going to get upset. In 2020, you're going to be frustrated at times. In this new year, there are going to be some things that's not going to go your way. There's going to be some things that's not going to happen the way that you wish they would. But the good news is this. Somebody say, give me some good news, Pastor. The good news is this. There are some principles biblically that we can be able to apply to our lives, that even though there are going to be some challenges that are going to rise, even though there's going to be some issues that are going to come up, there are some things that I can be able to practice in this new year, and not just in this new year, but principles that I can be able to apply to my life for the rest of my life that will help me to be able to better gauge and to stay focused even when issues arise. There are some principles that I can be able to apply to my life and in my life and be able to walk out not just in this year, but to be able to walk out for the rest of my life, that when storms come, when issues arise, when frustrations come, I can be able to gauge, because my focus is not on what's going on, but my focus is the visions and the plans that God has placed within me. Well, Pastor, I get that, but what else is the good news? What is this good news that you are talking about? Here it is, saints of God. If we are not careful, and if we don't apply these certain principles in our lives, we will have another year that will go by, and we'll have the same results as the year before. If we are not careful, and please give your eyes to me, y'all. Give me up. We got people that's taking care of stuff. We're all good to go. Give your eyes to me. We're saying, look at your neighbor, say, but we're all good. We all good. Amen. And so if we're not careful, and if we go through this year like any other year, we will miss the moments and all that God wants to do in and through us. Then, Pastor, what is it? What is it, Pastor? What is it that we need to be able to add to our lives, not just for this year, but for the rest of our lives? Two things. Focus. Oh, y'all gonna get mad when I say this. And discipline. Oh, goodness. Focus and discipline. And then there was a holy hush in the church when the preacher said focus and discipline. You all may be familiar with this. If anybody knows me, knows that I am a big basketball fanatic. I love basketball. I love sports. Now, here it is. When we're having a conversation about sports, don't ask me any questions about it. Just let me talk about it. Amen. Don't ask me no questions. I may not know all the answers. Just let me talk about what I'm talking about and do what I'm doing. There is a basketball player that we all know by the name of LeBron James. Oh, yeah, you got some LeBron James fans in here right now. We got some fans in here right now. They love them some LeBron James. They love him. We talk about his skills. He has almost been named and been nicknamed King James because of his athletic ability and what he's able to do and how he's able to do it. I mean, a great basketball player and all that he does. But here it is, saints of God. LeBron James is not just a great basketball player because one day he just woke up and just was able to dunk the ball the way that he dunks. He did not just wake up and just say, aha, I think today I'm going to be a great basketball player and just make millions of dollars. No, LeBron James is the player that he is today because of the focus and the discipline that he gives to his craft. LeBron James is a great basketball player once again because of the focus and the discipline that he gives to his craft. There are some that says that every year he spends about $1.5 million. Yeah, that's a reason to be quiet right there. $1.5 million goes towards him subjecting himself to a rigorous routine of exercise and a diet that allows him to do what he does. Pastor, what are you saying? LeBron James understands that the only way I'm going to be great, the only way I'm going to be able to produce what I need to produce and be great in my craft is that I'm going to have to make a personal investment. All Okay. Where's my church this morning? I'm going to have to make a personal investment in what I believe. Here it is, thanks to God. Here it is. I know folks are already talking about that in this year, come spring, I'm going to get my body right for spring break because I'm going to Jamaica. I'm going to lose some weight and get ready and be ready for spring break. Here it is, thanks to God. If you're not willing to make the investment into you doing better, you're not going to get better. Here it is. I wish I had a church in here this morning with me. If you're not willing to make the investment into your health, you're not going to see anything change. It's great that you pray. It's great that you call on the name of Jesus. I wish I could just pray and I can be able to transform back into the suit that I wore my installation. It doesn't matter how long I pray, but if I don't exercise, if I don't change my habits, that suit will continue to be a landmark in my closet. But if I make up in my mind and if I invest into my health, if I invest into my focus, if I invest into my discipline, then I will see some results. Here it is, saints of God. If we are not careful and if we don't begin to get focused and discipline ourselves, another year will go by. It'd be the same thing. I don't care how long you pray. I don't care how many seeds you sow. If you don't have good stewardship over your money, you're going to be broker than broke the rest of the year. There is an investment. Everybody say investment. There's an investment that you have to make into your goals. There's an investment that you have to make into your dreams. There's an investment that you have to make into what you are believing that you want God to be able to come alongside of you to produce in your life. If there is no investment, please hear me when I say this. If there is no investment, you really don't believe in what you believe. If there's no real focus, you're not as serious as you brag about on Facebook. If you're not real disciplined, you don't really believe what you say that you want to do. You just giving a whole bunch of hogwash and just making yourself happy and living in some fantasy world because you're not ready to make the personal investment. I used to sit around and say, oh my gosh, if Carbondale ever got a Planet Fitness for $10 a month, I'm going to be in there every chance we get. I done went, caught the deal, put a dollar down, and then $10 for the rest of the month. I done did that, done went in. Only been twice, Elder James. Did all that talking and stuff, got the bag, put it in my trunk, ready to go. But I talk myself out every time. Doesn't matter what I talk about, but until I'm willing to make the investment, and the investment, get this sense of God, the investment may cost me some sweat. The investment is going to be some work. The investment is going to cost me something. And here it is, sense of God, if you are not willing to pay for certain stuff, you're not real serious about it. Because here it is. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Here it is. We have to get out of this mentality that we want everything to be given to us for free. We have to get out of this mindset that we want everything given. No, there is some stuff that you are going to have to invest in. There is some stuff that's going to cost you. There are some things that you are going to have to do. It's going to cost you some sweat. It's going to cost you some tears, baby. But here it is. It will be worth it because of the prize that I'll receive. Oh, I wish I had a church in here this morning because I'm preaching really good right now. Here it is, Pastor. We'll talk about focus. Talk about focus, Pastor. You said that this is the year of focus. This is the year that we're focusing on life, family, and ministry. What does focus mean, Pastor? Focus means unwavering attention. Unwavering attention. I like that word, unwavering, because it means it doesn't flutter. It doesn't change. It doesn't shift because trouble comes. It doesn't move because circumstance come. No. This has to be the year. This has to be the moment and the time in our lives where we are focused. We have unwavering attention. It doesn't matter what obstacles come my way. Doesn't matter what trouble comes my way. Doesn't matter who's with me or who's not with me. I'm going to be focused on the things that God has placed within my heart. I'm going to be focused on the goals and the dreams and the aspirations that I have for my life. I'm giving unwavering attention to those things in my life that matters the most to me. As you get older, you start prioritizing certain stuff in your life. You start to realize there was some stuff that ain't even worth your time. As you grew up, you begin to understand that there are some conversations that I have matured over that I can't continue to have anymore. As you grow older, you begin to realize that time is a precious commodity that you cannot get back. And as you grow older, you begin to realize I have to guard my time. I can't give everybody my time. I can't give everything my time, because if stuff don't come out and if the conversation is a waste, I can't get my time back. There's no refund on time. I can't go to the store and say, hey, here's my receipt. I bought 10 minutes of time for $5. Can I get my $5 back? There are some things that needs our unwavered attention. There's some stuff that's going on in your life that needs your unwavering attention. Man, your mental, your physical, and your emotional health deserves your unwavering attention. I don't care. I tell my wife all the time, she have all these sick days and stuff like that. I said, honey, I said, you better start using these sick days and stuff. I know, well, I got so much to do. I said, listen, here's the truth of the matter. If the Lord was to call you home, they would come to the celebration. We have a real good time at your funeral. I planned out real nice. I said, they would come to your funeral. They would maybe even send some flowers. And they may even join us over in the fellowship hall for the repast. But before there is enough dirt on you, there's going to be a plan and a strategy to hire someone for your place. They will call me in and say, hey, Pastor Swins, can you come and clean Brittany's office out? We got somebody that's getting ready to take over her role. They may name a room after her or build it after her or whatever it may be. But I'm trying to encourage her and myself at the same time that if you have the time to be able to use it, because your mental and your emotional and your physical health has to be a priority in your life. Oh, man, I'm preaching real good right there. I'm preaching real good right there. So that means that my emotional and my mental stability has to be a priority in my life. I tell saints all the time, and I stand behind it so boldly and true because I do it myself. There is nothing wrong with you having Jesus, a counselor, and a journal. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Because newsflash, social media is not your counselor. Social media is not your journal. Social media is not your Jesus, because the same stuff that you post, somebody done screenshot that, and they're waiting for a moment for you to get your back up against the wall and remind you of what you your family. If you are married, that is your primary relationship. I like when Pastor Phil Nordstrom came here years ago and did a workshop for married couples, and he said that the marriage is the primary relationship that you have to invest in your marriage. Because once your kids are grown and they're out the house, and if you have not invested in your marriage, you and your spouse will sit there and look at each other like you're strangers, because you don't know each other, because you put everything into the lives of your kids, which you should do, but balance it out that you never had date nights. Here we go, Swims. Come on, Swims, talk about it. That you didn't have date night, that you didn't send each other text messages and say, hey, you still fine, you still cute. Oh, man, every time I see you, my heart still flutters. No, we have to make that investment into our marriage. Why? Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And divorce rate is higher amongst believers than unbelievers. We got to focus on our kids. Can I say this, Jesus, and they won't get, they're already mad at me for what I said about the crying babies. Can I say this? Jesus, can I say, you got my back? Okay. Nobody wants to deal with your bad kids. I mean, I'm already out here. Don't mess with my car. I got good insurance. I get another one. Here it is. Your children have to be a focus in. We're living in a time and a generation now where parents are getting younger and younger. Yeah. And because parents are getting younger and younger, now what is happening now is that because kids are having kids younger and younger, once they have the kids, they're giving the kids to grandma and big mama and big daddy to take care of. And now the child, the parent, the mother is out there trying to get their groove on and get their groove back and live out their 13, 14, 15 years old of age, but they're not taking care of their children. And then your child comes to school and raises all type of hell, turns up room, flipping desks, cursing people out. And when we call you and tell you about your child, you don't want to come get them. I promise you, when I get to school on Tuesday, a parent's going to be late bringing their child in, Keister. And as they're signing their kid in, they have to put the teacher's name. And the parent's going to look over to their child and say, "What's your teacher's name?" It's January 2020. You don't know your child's teacher's name? Your kids need your focus. In the matter of months, 5 black men have lost their lives in Carbondale. Your children, our children, deserve to be parented. Our children deserve to have a mother and a father that loves them. Our children deserve to have a better life than you had. Our children deserve the best of us. You can have them wearing Ralph Lauren polo. They can have every pair of Jordans. But if they can curse better than they can read, help me, Holy Ghost. There's a problem, saints. Oh, Pastor, you're making this stuff up. No, I'm not, because I'm telling you, this week I'm going to get cursed down. I'm telling you. I'm preparing myself for it. I already know it. I done been called ugly, bald-headed. I said, tell me something I don't know. I already know I'm bald. Been bald over 10 years now. Tell me something new. Call me bald-headed, but I can't say nothing back to you. I whisper under my breath. That's why you bald. Your mama bald-headed. But your family deserves your unwavering attention. Ministry. Oh, Pastor, here you go. Here you go on your soapbox. Ministry deserves your focus. I have to tell somebody that ministry is not something that you can just pick up and put down when you feel like it. Ministry is a sacrifice. Ministry is a sacrifice where there are sometimes those that are serving in ministry, you know what I'm saying, there you have moments in your life that you are going through some stuff, but yet you still have the call that God has on your life, and you still have to fulfill your assignment in spite of what's going on in your life. Paul here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me hurry up and get out of y'all's way. Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 shares something with us. He starts off, he's attempting to keep his character and his integrity. The Corinthians here, they are challenging him calling himself an apostle. And so Paul goes back to me. Listen, I'm not arguing with you guys trying to make a name for myself. I'm just letting you know it is what it is. He said, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not just see him in a vision. It wasn't just a mist. It wasn't just a mystery. I've seen him with my own eyes. He goes on also to begin to check them and let them know, hey. He says, since we're on the soapbox, let me go ahead and get on mine for a moment. He begins to challenge them and let them know it ain't right for you all to have the preacher to come and to teach and to preach and to share the word of God, but you don't want to be a financial blessing to them. He said, why muzzle the ox that treads the grain? He says, why work the ox to get everything out? Why work the ox to get all this great work, but yet when it comes time to eat of his produce, you muzzle his mouth? Mm. All right. He He says, I want you to know. He said, I want you to understand that, listen, like me and Barnabas, we're single, we don't have families. But now, Paul even goes on and let them know, listen, I'm giving up my rights. I don't do this for the money. He's letting them know that this is a passion. This is a zeal. He says, I've been called by God to do what God has sanctioned me to do. If they give me a love offering, fine. If they don't, he says, that's why I'm bivocational. I'm not dependent upon fickle jokers who may want to bless me and may not. Then he gets to something good right here. In verse 24, let me hurry you up because I think y'all mad at me because I said nobody want to deal with your bad kids. That wasn't for everybody because everybody in here, your kids may not be bad. Only if you know your kids are bad, then that goes to you. But if your kids ain't bad, you're safe. Amen. You're all good to go. But I love what Paul does here. He takes something that the Corinthians are used to. He uses the Olympics. He uses athletics to be able to give a context, to give them a greater understanding because this was a big deal for them. They were real big into sports. I mean, they train heavy for sports, just like in the Olympics. So he took something that they were familiar with and used it to be able to teach. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? But only one person gets the prize? He says, so you run to win. He says, so athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Paul realized, hey, let me give context. He said, listen, some people do it to be able to win. Some people do it for the prize that's going to fade away. They do it for a trophy that's going to ride out. They do it for something that's money that's going to run out. I mean, accolades is going to run out. He said, but we do it for an eternal prize. What's an eternal prize? To be able to hear him say, well done. My good and faithful servant. But I like what he says. Please give this your attention. I like what he says in verse 26. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I like that. Paul says, I run with purpose in every step. In other words, I'm not just living life by chance. I'm not just doing stuff just to be doing it. Everything that I am doing, it has been ordered. Everything that I'm doing, it has a why behind what I'm doing. Everything I'm indulging myself in life, there's a purpose behind it because he says, otherwise, I'm just out here shadow boxing, punching the air, and nothing is coming of it. Can I say something? I mean, y'all already mad. I might as well keep going anyway. Here it is. Many of us are frustrated and we're tired and we're ready to tap out because we've been doing things that have produced no results, but we keep doing them anyway. We're shadow boxing in life. And we're doing stuff because we've been used to doing it and because we should do it and because somebody, I read in the book and Dr. Phil said I should do this and Oprah said I should do that. And we've been doing this for years and years and years and years and we have exhausted ourselves. Because everything we've done, everything we've tried has produced absolutely nothing. Can I get nosy and ask you a question? Why you keep doing it then? Aren't you tired enough of being frustrated and exhausted? Of shadow boxing in life and with everything else that has produced no results? Because here's what happens, saints of God. When I've been shadow boxing and I've been hitting stuff and doing stuff that has not produced any results, all those other areas that means something to me, doesn't get all of me, because I've exhausted myself in something that has not produced any results. Could it be, thank you, Holy Ghost, could it be that certain things that we are doing, that Jesus has left it, but we're still doing it? that Jesus has exited the situation, but because we don't know him, because we're not praying or reading his word or worshiping, we don't even realize he's left, and we're still doing it. He says, I move with purpose. You all look at the Bible right there. Look at it. He says, so I run with purpose. And every step, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just hitting the air. I'm not, like, life is too precious. My time is too precious for me just to be hitting the air. No. I have to aim, not just in my salvation. I have to aim, not just in pleasing God, but I have to run with purpose in every area of my life. I got to run with purpose in my health, because if my health ain't up to par, I ain't running nowhere. He says, I have to be, in other words, I have to be purposeful in every area of my life. I got to be purposeful in my relationship. I got to be purposeful with my money. I have to run with purpose in every step of my life. But look at what he says in verse 27. I'm about to hurry up. Here it is. He says, here's the key to it. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Pastor, what does discipline mean? I'm so glad you asked that question. It means choosing fruitfulness instead of gratification. Choosing tomorrow instead of the moment. Discipline means choosing fruitfulness instead of gratification. What may please me now? What gratifies me in the moment? Choosing tomorrow instead of the moment. It means that I discipline myself for things that I may want now. I discipline myself for moves I may want to make right now, to train myself to be ready, because God has something better than what I see right now. It means that if I'm in school, I discipline myself to have some balance, even though everybody is kicking it and they're doing this and they're doing that. No, but I'm investing so that I can be a neurosurgeon. I'm investing the blood, the sweat, and the tears so that I can be a successful lawyer. Choosing fruitfulness instead of gratification. Tomorrow instead of the moment. Discipline in the Greek means to strike under the eye, to give a black eye. In other words, Paul says, I'm going to discipline my body, which means I'm going to make my body my slave. And not that my body will become my slave, but I'm going to make my body my slave, and I'm going to subject myself. I'm going to subject myself to have authority over my flesh, and not do what my body wants to do, and not do what my flesh wants to do, and not do what my mind may want me to do. But I discipline myself. Why? Because I want a better tomorrow than I have right now. Let me ask this question. So why aren't we more disciplined? Oh, Pastor, I thought you was going to get up here and make us shout. It's the first Sunday of the year. We can shout. We can still shout. Hey, man, I'm all down for a good dance party. We can still shout in the end. But, hey, don't leave this place off of a good shout and don't have any substance to be able to carry you through. Okay, that's what mature believers want. Perhaps I take a shout, that's all good and great. Why? Because good meat develops its own gravy. But give me some substance and some principles for me to be able to live by. Oh, y'all don't know about that good meat making no gravy, huh? Y'all don't know about that black iron skillet. You get some chicken in there, sprinkle a little flour in there, but get you the best gravy you ever had this side of heaven. Sure, I need to call my daddy. I want some gravy right now. Why aren't we more disciplined then? Two reasons why. I'm hurrying out the gate, amen, to get you out of here before 12 o'clock. Two reasons, I believe, why we are not more disciplined. Here it is, and it could be a variety of reasons. This is more than just this, but I just got two for you this morning. Here's the first reason: comfort. When you are comfortable and you're fine, But where you are, you're not going to discipline yourself. But here's the strange thing about being comfortable. Here's the strange thing about being comfortable, saints. Here is the crazy thing about being comfortable. Even though we know that we need to discipline ourselves and choose fruitfulness so that we can have a better tomorrow, we will still complain today. I ain't got no help in here this morning. I said, even though we know, Lakeidra, that I need to discipline myself to make for a better tomorrow, we will still complain about today, even though we know what to do to change it. I'm tired of the girl. I'm tired of the swim. Sister's rubbing my belly. I'm tired of kids walking down the hallway. You see Mrs. Swim's stomach. Shut your mouth, I'll give you the attention. Me looking at my stomach. I know what to do, but because I'm so comfortable, it kills my discipline. To bring about the results, we would rather settle in comfort than to make a sacrifice. Help me, Holy Ghost. We would rather live in comfort than to make a sacrifice and to discipline ourselves to be more fruitful. Here it is. Hurry up, swimmers, because you're getting on my nerves. You all in my business. Here it is. The second reason is this. I like what John Bloom says. He says that we are not more disciplined because we choose fantasy over reality. Ooh, we imagine ourselves and we see ourselves, oh, this summer I'm taking me a real vacation. I'm going to Jamaica, all inclusive. I'm going to get my body right. I'm going to get myself in shape. I'm going to be good to go. January went by. February, I'm doing this in June. Soon as school out, I'm going on vacation. All inclusive, I'm going to be good to go. February done came by. I'm going on an adult vacation in June. Soon as school is out, I'm getting this body right. I'm going to be good. March done came. I'm going on a real adult vacation. I'm going to Jamaica at the end of June. Amen. And I'm going to have a good time. Now, April has gone by, May has gone by, and June has come, and the end of June has come, and you're still where you're at. Why? I'm living in a fantasy of what I want, but I'm not dealing with the reality of what I need to do. If I'm going to Jamaica, I got to save my money. I'm not going to be able to go to deal this one-day sale. Amen. I'm not going to be able to do spring break and June. I'm not going to be able to go to McDonald's every day. I'm not going to be able to go through Dunkin' Donuts and get me a large coffee, 7 creams, 4 sugars. Amen. I won't be able to do it. I got to save my money up for me to be able to go where I want to go. We'll rather live in a fantasy world and have, we got great imaginations. Oh, yes, we do. We got great, we have awesome imaginations. We live in fantasy and ignore reality. We live in what could be, but not willing to put in the work for what could be. Which one of these is assassinating your discipline? It's suffocating your discipline. Is it your comfort? Is it your comfort? Is it your fantasy world that you live in that's assassinating your discipline? If you're not willing to discipline yourself, if you're not willing to have focus, I'm sorry. 2020, it'd be like 2017. You'll go back 2 more years. 2020, go back 3 years. 2020, it'd be like 2017. If you're not willing to focus and discipline yourself. Which means you're gonna have to make yourself do stuff. You're gonna, I'm gonna have to make myself go to the gym and have a whole attitude while I'm there. because I know in my going, and not just in my going, but in my working, it's going to produce some fruitful results. I have to make up in my mind. If I got to wake up early just to have that time to steal away with God, I may have a little attitude in my voice in the beginning because of the sleep that I'm missing, the next dimension of sleep that I'm missing at that time. But it will be worth it for the time and the growth and the intimacy I have with Him. I like what Paul says. I'm wrapping up because y'all done got tired of me. I like what Paul says in verse 27. He says, I discipline myself like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, he says, I fear that preaching to others, I might disqualify myself. He says, I'm conscious of the fact that I'm sharing the good news with others, Casey. He says, I recognize the fact, Carla, that I'm preaching to others. But if I fail to practice what I preach, I deserve to be disqualified from getting the reward. I have never met so many experts. Let me take it a step further. I have never met so many social media experts that know something about everything. I mean, they're going to put Alexa and Amazon and Google out of business because they know everything, Corey. They know everything of the Corey. But I get scared when you're sharing advice with me. But when I look down your street, I don't see any fruit from what you told me to take Advil for my headache, but you still struggling with yours. Paul says, I recognize the fact that me preaching to others is not just good enough, that I have to practice and live out what I'm preaching. Otherwise, I don't deserve the prize. And here it is, saints. Here it is. We're five days in. I wrote in 7 a.m. prayer, shameless plug, 7 a.m. prayer every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. right here in the sanctuary. Last Sunday in 7 a.m. prayer, I had my journal with me, and I just began to write out things that Chip needs to do for Chip. Amen. Not Pastor Swims, not Chris. I took it back to the childhood name. Amen. Things that Chip needs to do for Chip. I said, if anything is going to change, it's going to begin with me. I was talking with First Lady last night, casting vision. Hey, here's what we need to do for us. Here's what we need to do for our kids. Here's what we need to do for our future. If anything is going to change within me, it's going to have to start with me. If anything is going to change in your life, it's going to start with you and I making some intentional decisions about the landscape of our lives. Because if not, closing my book. That's the first sign that a preacher's almost done preaching. Amen. Don't say that because I'll go. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're not ready to focus. If you're not ready to discipline yourself, saints, you will have a repeat. You have a repeat. You have a repeat of last year, the previous years. But the first step is admitting, Pastor, I got to get myself together. Because I realize there's some areas, there's some things, there's some shifting that needs to take place in my life that, hey, if this year is going to be any different, if the rest of my life is going to be any different, it starts today. Don't wait till your birthday. Don't wait till any other holiday. Don't wait till the 4th of July. Make the decisions and moves today for a change to happen in your life. Sister Reddit, just start playing softly. I said something last week in service, the end of service. I said, man, we got to break this glass ceiling when it comes to our corporate worship and just what we do as a ministry. Thursday, I went to a conference, and it was literally orchestrated by God, because everything the preacher, I felt like it was just me and the preacher in the room together having a conversation. Well, not even a conversation, that he was doing all the talking. I'm just sitting there about ready to tip over and fall out. Because how did you know that? How did you know? Who told you that? Why were you reading my journal? Who told you to do that? I said something last week. I said that we need to break that glass ceiling. Sitting in this service Thursday night, pastor was preaching. And it's almost as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Swims, part of the reason the glass ceiling is there is because of you. The organization would take on the personality of its leader. The organization would take on the personality of the leader, good or bad. The organization would take on the personality of the leader. And I'm like, nah, that was not the Holy Ghost. I'm hungry because I ain't eat before I left. That wasn't the Lord. That wasn't the Lord. Swims. If you're going to see a difference in Hopewell, you're going to have to jump all the way in. You have to jump all the way in. You're going to have to take a risk. Because if you're cautious and scary, the saints are going to be cautious and scary. From the pulpit to the van, we got to get ourselves together. Never want you to think that I, as your pastor, live in some fantasy world where I don't have any issues or go through nothing. I'll be transparent with you as much as I can, let you know. I need to get myself together. We need to get ourselves together. Get those sheets out that I gave you that you got when you came in. Get these, the 2020 year of focus, life, family, and ministry. If you don't have one, just lift your hands real quick. Our ushers will get you one. If you don't have one, lift your hands real high. Lift your hands real high. Our ushers, they'll get you one. Lift the hands real high. Amen. That's good. That's good. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. Amen. They're coming. They're coming. Coming. Let me get one. Take mine, Brother Cornelius. Let me get one of those up here too. Amen. Life, family, and ministry. Life, family, and ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're on the brink of something great, y'all. We're on the brink of something great. We're on the brink of something great. We're on the brink of something great. Great. We're on the brink of something amazing. We're on the brink of something awesome on the horizon. We need two more over here. I'll be an usher too. I was the junior usher at church growing up. So I kind of, but see, our junior ushers, we got worried. We weren't just ushering fourth Sunday. We had to do it all the time too. Amen. Amen. Y'all know about them junior ushers in church. Praise the Lord. We need some over here. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I need you to do. 2020, your focus, life, family, and ministry. I need you to be honest. You ain't got to put your name on it. If you want to, you can. You don't have to. I want you to be honest. I want you to ask yourself two questions. The first question is, what do I need to release in 2020? What do you need to let go of? We need one more from Mother Lou. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to let go of? What do you need to release? What do you need to give to God that you've been carrying, not just for this year, but you've been carrying it for a long time? I want you to write that thing down. And it could be more than that. If you need more room, turn it over on the back. Hallelujah. Write it all. Write it all. Write it all. What do I need to release in 2020? It could be fear. It could be a relationship. It could be, Pastor, I don't want to live anymore with low self-esteem. I want to be confident in who I am in God. I want you to write that down. What do you want to release in 2020? Second question. What needs my focus? What needs my unwavering attention in 2020? Pastor, I need to give more attention to my health. I got had some stuff going on. I need to get some things right. I need to focus more on my marriage. If God had been holding us, we would have been divorced by now. I need to focus more on me. I'm always helping everybody else, but I don't take care of myself. It could be this is the year that I want to be more focused in serving in ministry. I want to be more committed to the things of God. I want to be more committed in my relationship with God. I want to be more committed in my walk with God. I want you to write that down. What do I need to release? And what do I need to give focus to? What do I need to pay attention to? What needs my unwavering attention? Your kids need your unwavering attention. More than your provision, they want your presence. They want you to live in the moment. They want to create memories with you, not just in what you bought them, but with you. What needs your unwavering attention? What do you need to let go of? Hallelujah. Write that down. I'm writing mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once you got it, I want you to make a bold move and come lay it on the altar. If you can't walk, give it to somebody else. Let them walk for you. Let them walk for you. Just come lay it on the altar. Hallelujah. We're letting some stuff go. We're letting some stuff go. We're letting some stuff go. There's going to be some transformation that's about to hit our lives. Now, we're never going to be the same. We're never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. This is a beautiful picture. Oh, my goodness. I love it. 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 Bring it. Bring it. I love it. For our kids, it could be, hey, man, my grade's about to come up. I'm not going to be one of those bad kids, Pastor, talking about it. It's about to change for me. It's about to change. It's about to change. I'm about to change. I'm about to change. Come on, put it on this altar. Put it on the altar. We're going to be praying over these at 7 a.m. prayer. We're going to pray over them before we leave today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep bringing them. Keep bringing them. And listen, next Sunday, it might be something else. Hey, man, we're going to have some more. You keep bringing them. Hallelujah. 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 Join that neighbor's hand. Partner up with that neighbor real quick. You may not know him, but you know him today. That's your brother or sister in Christ. Amen. Partner up with that neighbor. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, everybody touching somebody, reach out, reach out, reach out. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you right now. God, once again, we thank you for 2020. God, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for fresh focus. God, we thank you for clarity, Father God. We're thanking you in advance for unwavering attention, God. Those things that may have distracted us in the past, God, we declare and decree, God, we're no longer being distracted by the same thing. It might be something new this year, but it's not going to be the same thing, oh God, that we've been distracted with, Lord God, for years. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, everything that we have written on these sheets, Lord God, that we need to release, I pray, you can bring it on, I pray, Father God, that we trust you enough and have confidence in you enough, God, that we can be able to let go, God. Sometimes we don't let go because it's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? How is it going to work out? What if this? What if that, God? But we're choosing today by faith, oh God, to believe, Lord God, that we are letting some things go, and we are willing, Lord God, to focus. We are willing, Lord God, to discipline ourselves, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, so that we're not being held down and bogged down by the same thing, oh God, that we were with before, Father. And I lift up everything that we're going to focus on in 2020. God, I pray for strategy. I pray, Father God, for clarity, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we have tunnel vision with those things that we need to focus on, Father God, whether it be concerning our lives, whether it's our family, whether it's with ministry, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord God, for clarity. I thank you, Lord God, for clearness. I thank you for strategy, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we will be so careful, Father God, that when you bring it to pass, Lord, we will not be ashamed to testify and to tell of your goodness, God. And we won't be ashamed to give you the credit, Father God. We will give you the credit. We will give you the glory. We will recognize and acknowledge that it was you that brought it to pass. It was you that opened the door. It was you that made the provision.
Yes. Thank you, God.
We thank you right now. Praise you right now, Father. Thank you for the grace to let go, God. Thank you that this was not just something just to do, Lord God. It took a step of faith for someone to write that on their sheet. It took grace for them to walk it and to believe it and put it on this altar, Father God. Thank you for the grace to let go. I come against fear. I come against anxiety. I come against fear of the unknown. We thank you right now and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people say it. Come on, give God a great praise right there. Give him a good praise right there. Come on, give him a good praise right there, right there, right there. That's a good spot. That's a good spot. That's a good spot. That's a good spot. Come on, that's a good spot. Let praise arise. Let praise arise. Come on, come on, come on. Let praise arise right there. That's a good spot in expectation. That's a good place right there. Come on. I'm going to push you this morning. That's a good place right there to praise him with a hope, with expectation of a greater tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. 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 Turn to somebody and say, neighbor, your fresh start starts today. Say, in fact, your fresh start starts right now. Come on, find somebody else and tell them your fresh start starts right now. Starts right now. It starts right now. It starts right now. It has already begun right now. It's already taken place right now. There may be someone here. We're getting ready to go. There may be someone.